We continue the shir in Sif El Saran, sayings of Rabbeinu Zal. We are now at Sif Nun, paragraph 50. This is a very special topic this time, and it is definitely tied in with all the former discussions about Emunah. Emunah Stam, general faith, especially Emunah in Tzaddikim, faith in the Tzaddik Emes. And this topic would be a very clear-cut test in a person's faith. Faith meaning something you do not understand, and yet you accept fully. To have Emunah in the Tzaddik Emes, Emunah Rabbeinu Zal means that if inside a person's mind he feels an opposing thought to what is said by the Tzaddik Emes, and he crushes that thought, he removes it from his mind, and accepts fully, with firm faith, what the Tzaddik says, that is passing the test in faith. Now, very sadly, I've seen many times, three types of tests in which people generally fail. This topic deals with the subject of doctors, physicians, surgeons, medicine. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in a very derogatory term, considering doctors generally as frauds. Now, this of course is a strong test of faith, because there are many people who possess a very high degree of faith. So high that their faith is unquestioning whatsoever. Their faith is implicit, very firm. I'm speaking about their faith in doctors. When they say, my doctor says, it is in such an awe, a term of awe, a deep respect, as though they were speaking about someone ethereal, heavenly. And when they hear that the Tzaddik Emes mentions something demeaning, debasing about their doctors, as much as they have held, as much as they have believed in the Tzaddik before, when this conflict comes up, they fall flat on this test. I've seen many who desert their faith in the Tzaddik Emes because of the fact that they cannot see themselves losing this firm belief in the medical practitioners. This is one item. We'll come back to this soon. This is the main topic for today. First, to show a parallel, two parallels, two cases. One, we see very often people who live generally a life of religious faith, and suddenly, when it is revealed to them that the Torah does not consider all men created equal, they lose their faith in the Torah itself. How is it possible that everyone, every human, is born, created by the same Creator? How can you say one is superior to the other? They do not realize what is behind this, that the Creator Himself has selected one people over all others, one land over all others, and one study over all others. The Torah of Hashem, the people of Hashem, the land of Hashem. Third, there are some, especially today, an outgrowth, who erroneously, mistakenly, or to a degree truthfully, are led to believe that the Torah does not consider women equal to men. Now, those who are staunch followers of women's lib feel that they cannot follow a teaching which may consider them inferior, erroneously, because that is the furthest thing from the truth. We do not have to explain, go into detail about what the Torah says. The Torah insists and demands that women's rights are to be upheld even more than men's. We've mentioned many times, according to the Dinim of Torah, the husband's first requirement, responsibility, is to provide for his wife before himself. If there is money to buy one suit of clothes, it belongs to the wife. If there's enough food for one, the wife is supposed to get it. Many other details in din, in many cases where we find the respect given to a woman who was an Eishes Chayil. Rabbi Akiva himself, unquestionably the greatest of all rabbis, the only one to equal the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, himself stated openly to all his students, there's thousands of students, that the credit for all his learning goes to his wife. Respect should go to his wife. As we will learn too in the Gemara, about respect going to an Eishes Chava, the wife of a Talmud Chacham. We do not have to defend the words of the Torah in this respect, but because of the fact that there are certain laws which appear to make a woman look inferior, these women, women's lib followers, then turn against the Torah to a degree where the laws of the Torah become meaningless to them. And when you ask them, how do you expect things to change? How can you really have them equal? How can men give birth? And their reply is, women do not have to go through the pains of childbirth. They're not required to give birth. And of course, the answer to them is, would it have been that their mothers felt so? Same time, we would like to encourage them with this one thought. We do find cases where the superiority of the female, the wisest of all Goyim, was Bilam. Bilam, the non-Jewish prophet, who was superior to all others in his field. The sharpest, the shrewdest, the cleverest, and he was outwitted by one female. His donkey was female. This much we can grant those who speak against the Torah. Now to go back to our topic for tonight, again, a very delicate, very sensitive topic. We want to forewarn that those who believe a lot or too much in the medical profession will may be disappointed. We don't have to prove anything, but I am certain that the proof is very much on the surface. The proof is obvious. This topic would have been very difficult to speak about 10 years ago. Today, it's very simple. Because today, there has surfaced a real evil of the top leaders of the medical profession. We'll get to that soon. Let's first see what the Benazel says about these doctors, these physicians, these cure-all experts. Benazel spoke about the medical profession very much at length, and he spoke about them in a very base sort of manner, in reference to medicines and doctors both. He warned very much, advised very strongly, for any person who cares about his life and about the welfare of those close to him, his family, his children, to stay as far away, as clear from doctors as possible. Doctors and medicine. Even if a person, chas v'sholem, has a sick patient in his home, even if the sickness, the illness is serious, chas v'sholem, despite this, he should place his hope, his faith upon Hashem, rely upon Hashem, and not to rely at all upon medicines or doctors whatsoever. Even doctors who are considered leaders in their profession, top physicians and surgeons. Because it is fact, Abenazol, of course, was very much versed in physiology, in biology, in the medicines in general, as is the case of every tzaddik emes, who is a bucky, whose clear knowledge in these seven chachmas. Menadel said that the biggest doctors could never know the extreme complexities of the human body. There are so many parts, so many cells in the human body, that even those who specialize in certain organs could never really know the truth about these organs. How many different types of illnesses there are, countless numbers, that we could never really check in numerically. Different types of medications possible, herbs, ingredients, compounds, combinations, It takes more than an ordinary mortal to figure out which combination of ingredients is to be applied to which illness without side effects. Because if you take a pill intended to cure a certain type of sickness, swallow that pill, the pill does not have a traffic cop directing it to the area of that illness, and there to give forth its potency only towards the illness and nothing else. The pill goes through the bloodstream. Whatever it does for the sick organ, it does also for healthy organs. The Gemara says, for example, the simplest example, you take vinegar, which is very good for a toothache. A sick tooth can be helped by vinegar. Place vinegar, strong vinegar, on a healthy tooth, and it'll cause the healthy tooth to decay. It'll cause a pain where it doesn't exist till now. When you have these different types of medicines coursing through a body, without knowing what effect it has on the various organs, various tendons, arteries, different parts of the bodies, of which there are millions, a person could never know, no doctor can really know, what effect it will have, and why, after a while, the person is worse off than before. Yet these doctors, as the Gemara says, the Gemara itself says, why does the Torah speak so harshly about doctors? Take the wording in the Gemara itself, Tev Sheberefen L'Megehenim. The best of doctors goes to Gehenna. After all, they are, it would seem, they are necessary. People are sick, there is a need for hospitals, a need for treatment. Why speak so demeaningly about doctors? All the effort they put in, say the best goes to Gehenna. The answer is that even if their intentions are good, even if their efforts are well meant, the fact is that they cannot be excused or condoned for the extreme degree of haughtiness, conceit, self-centered egoism that they possess. Their gaiva is second to none. The highest degree of gaiva, conceit, is possessed by the medical profession. It's very difficult to talk to one and see him at the same time because his nose is so high up that he only sees the sky, which he strives to reach. And these doctors are filled with this haughtiness to a point where even the smallest ones try to achieve a higher level at the cost of their patients' lives at times. It would seem unfair to accuse doctors of outright murder. This would mean that they are negligent as far as the treatment of patients, the point where they treat patients without knowing the real cause of the illness, without knowing the real remedy, whatever therapy is necessary. This means that they are negligent to the point where they actually kill. To this, the Benedict says, don't be afraid to say it, because it is fact that the Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, is one angel. It's unfair to burden the angel of death with so vast a task as to overwork him every day to take so many lives. Even on him, there must be a pity. And so, in order to alleviate his chore, he was granted a host of assistants. That's the doctors. And they take care of all the numbers of necessary deaths to expedite them, to assist the angel of death and see that all these who have to die are sent on their merry way. However, their kavana is not a good one. Their intentions are not pure. They pretend to have a clear knowledge of medicine, clear knowledge of surgery even, when in fact, their knowledge is negligible. The man is all told of an actual case which existed then. This is close to 200 years ago. The person would smile and say, look at the vast strides that medicine has taken since then. Look at how the medical profession has progressed. Of course, we admit that. It has killed more than before. There's a lot of progress made by them. We need no further proof than the fact, as I said 10 years ago, it would be difficult to say this. But now, very recently, fortunately or unfortunately, it has been revealed publicly, not by the Rabbeinu, but by the news media, that a high percentage, probably more than half, of all surgeries are unnecessary. Of those that are made, those that are performed, more than half are unnecessary. And the other half, which are necessary, the minor half, are certainly done in the wrong manner, so that we can't tell which half dies. The ones that are necessary, the ones that are not necessary. In any event, there certainly are a lot of deaths, admittedly today, this I'm quoting, admittedly today because of the lack of knowledge and the lack of care by those in the medical profession. Abinadel says that a story which could very well exist today, or a case which we could find today, very prevalent. Visiting the city of Lemberg, they had a large convention of the leading doctors at that time, doctors, surgeons, and they came to discuss a certain type of sickness, internal illness, where there were two schools of thought. Benazar covered this convention. One side, one group of doctors maintained that in order to cure this, or at least not to aggravate this illness, the person must be on a bland diet. Nothing sharp, nothing tangy, no acid type of food at all. If that person would eat anything which had acids in it, then it would definitely prove fatal. This was one school of thought, one group of doctors, while the others maintained the exact opposite. The others said that this illness was such that it had to be pressed down, and the pressure necessary was acidy type of foods. Very strong, tangy, sharp ingredients in the food. And if the person would exist on a bland diet, then surely he would die. Now, according to both, according to each, if he would do the opposite of what they maintain, the person would die. So in this case, then how would one know whom to listen to? Both were experts in their fields. The answer is that both didn't know what they were talking about. They were both wrong, because both were guessing, and a person who would find himself with that disease would be playing Russian roulette by going to one alone or by going to one and visiting a second. Get a second opinion, they say. Go to one, eat a bland diet. Go to a second, eat a sharp diet, and you're guaranteed. That will be sure. Benedal says, what is a person to do? Person does get sick, he does become ill, he does suffer, there are relapses and illness. Is he supposed to lie back, refuse to take medicines, refuse to go to a hospital, accept surgery if necessary? There is a diseased organ which must be excised, cut out. Should he lie back and refuse to have a doctor touch him? Benedetto says the answer is qualified yes. Yes means, let's look at it in a clear view. Person calls a doctor in, he's suffering, he has internal pains, he doesn't know what they're from. The doctor studies him, examines him, and ventures a guess. Doctor's guess is of course accepted because it comes from a doctor. He could have called in the janitor or the plumber and gotten a guess there too. It would have been just as accurate, or at least as much a chance of being accurate. The result is many times, very many times, that the person listens to the doctor, takes the medication the doctor prescribes, and finds that the illness gets worse. He calls the doctor, and again the doctor says it's probably due to the medication you've been taking. So my advice now is stop taking this medication, which he does, and he gets better. Now, he could have saved all this bother and dither by allowing time itself to heal it. But of course, time is not enough of a healer, because things could go worse. So what does happen if a person takes this medication, it doesn't help, and the doctors add more medicines, more remedies, and they find a patient goes from bad to worse. Till finally the doctors say, we must withdraw, we do not see any further hope. What does the patient do then? The patient then turns around and says, oh Hashem, please help me. The doctors have given up hope, please help me now, because only you can help. And that so often are the words of the doctors too. Doctors find they've done everything, they say, only Hashem can help now. Those fools would say those words before they started to tamper with the patient. If it's true later, it's surely true before. So the real remedy then is, since only Hashem can help, why wait until it gets so much worse? Why burden Hashem with more work to clear up what the doctors did? Why not first directly go to Hashem with a sincere tefillah, sincere prayer? And isn't it logical that Hashem, who definitely could help, could cure, would cure a person who placed his faith in Hashem alone? Now, one thing is fact, all the skeptics, all the deep believers and doctors will have to admit, speaking of those who have a degree of faith, must admit that if in heaven the person is fated to die, and if all the doctors got together, all their knowledge, combined knowledge and combined effort, they could not save that person. It is impossible. This they must admit. Case one. Two, if it is the will of Hashem that a person be cured, then these doctors' remedies surely are not necessary. How then to get the will of Hashem, to acquire, to develop, to solicit the will of Hashem to effect a cure in a person who is sick? The answer is intense tefillah. Tefillah with kavana. Powerful kavana can bring about a cure to the worst illness. Of course, there are times, as Lady Kodesh says in the Lashonah, there are times when the biggest tzaddik in the world, the holiest tzaddik, davens to Hashem, his tefillah is turned down. We have a case with Rabbeinu HaKodesh. Rabbeinu HaKodesh Vidanossi, who compiled the Mishnah, when he was very ill, in fact, it was a day which he was nostalgic, he was suffering very much, he went through many years of physical torture. And the last day, he was suffering, all the rabbis, the Gemara, got together to daven. He began to beseech Hashem with cries, impassioned cries to Hashem to save the Rebbe. Let the Rebbe remain alive. Rabbeinu HaKodesh remain alive. And, of course, the angel of death could not take him. With this tremendous pressure of tefillahs going up to heaven, he could not die. Until there was one, a woman. Women's lip, pay attention. There was one woman whose tefillah was so great that it outweighed, outshone, overpowered all the combined tefillahs of all the rabbis of the Gemara at that time. This woman said, I have greater pity on the Beinah HaKodesh, Vidanasi, and all these rabbis. And therefore I pray to Hashem, do not listen to the tefillahs of these rabbis. Take his soul that he may stop suffering. Her tefillah was answered, and Rabbeinu HaKodesh was nostalgic. Of course, that's a unique case, and there's a lot to be said about that. Many dinim arise from that case. Speaking about mercy deaths, we find that as one unique case, where the din says that an adonim states a halacha, which is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, as an absolute din. That mercy death is permissible. To put a person to death willfully by davening to Hashem, the person should die. If a person is very close to one's heart, is suffering immensely, and there seems to be no hope, it's a malignancy, a terminal case, where surely the person will die shortly, to expedite the death, bring about death faster, it is permissible for a person to daven to have that person pass away sooner. This we learn from the case of Amsei D'Rebbe. But we do find, though, still that there are cases where when it's possible for a tzaddik to daven, and his tefillah not be answered. In fact, it's very simple logic. If all tefillahs were answered, we would have today people 300, 400, 500 years old. Every time a person is about to die, people cry and daven, and yet the person does pass away. There's no way to stop death, no way to keep a person alive forever. Not the way the world is set up today. What we have, there'll be eternal life. At present, we cannot stop this. So it is possible, therefore, too, for a person to daven and not have his tefillah answered. But certainly, one thing is certain, that if he davens, he's not going to hurt the patient with it. If he davens for a cure, the patient will not be harmed, whereas if he calls a doctor, chances are very high, percentages are much greater, that the doctor will definitely do more harm than good. Now the Menel said, there was a case even of a king who had destroyed, who had wiped out, killed all the doctors in his kingdom. He found, factually, the statistics showed very clearly that there were less deaths after the passing of the doctors than while they existed. There was no chance to go to a doctor, yet less people died, the ratio, than before. Second case was where there was a certain disease, certain type of sickness, and doctors treated the sickness, and it seemed to no avail. One day the king issued a decree. It was one doctor who took it. It was one small kingdom with one doctor. The king issued a decree that no person is allowed to go to this doctor anymore for a certain specified period of time. At the end of that period of time, only one person had died. That was a doctor. Not one person died during the entire period of time because no one applied to this doctor. Now we find too, a step further, the case of Cheskio HaMelech, King Cheskio, the descendant of King David, whose life was to come to an end. The prophet Yeshaya Novi came to him and told him he was going to die, and Cheskio HaMelech, told of the decree from heaven that he must die, said, I have a klal, general rule, fact from my ancestor King David, that a Jew should never give up hope. Ein shum yish belem klal. Words of the Benazel. Never give up hope. As long as there is a breath of life, do not give up hope, even if it's a heavenly decree that says the person must die. Therefore, he said, you may leave now, you're dismissed. Though you're a prophet, I'll handle it from now on. The Gemara says that Cheskia HaMelech turned his face to the wall, was to the walls of his heart. He concentrated on davening, and he said, Hashem, I ask you that you allow me to live. Because, first of all, because I pray to you, and secondly, because I deserve to. I have done one thing in my lifetime for which I merit, I deserve life. Not the fact that I have spread the study of Torah more than any individual in history. His time, remember that every man, woman, and child knew the entire Gemara by heart. But more important than that, he said, I've done one thing which found favor in your eyes more than anything else. What is so favorable in the eyes of Hashem? The Gemara says there's a pasuk in the Torah, v'rapei yirapei. Which means that if a person is sick, you call a doctor to cure him. Are you allowed to call a doctor? The Torah is v'rapa y'rapa. He can. This pasuk teaches us that permission was granted to doctors to cure those who are ill. So we see a pasuk in the Torah, a Gemara, which says, definitely doctors are given the right to cure. You should, you may, you are permitted to, you should call a doctor. Nobody will deny that. What more can we want? Why do we attack these poor souls trying to make an honest living? The Gemara itself says the Torah has given doctors the right to cure, and you should call a doctor. Cheskia HaMelech turned his eyes to Hashem and said, the Torah said, v'rapa y'rapa, call a doctor. But the atayv v'enecha sisi, I did in my lifetime that which is good, better in your eyes. Thus I know, though the Torah says you may call a doctor, what does Hashem really want? What is good in the eyes of Hashem? I committed one act. I took the book of medicine and I hid it from sight. No one knows any more about what remedy to take. I took all the bottles of medicine and removed the labels from them. Now there are thousands of bottles. No one can take any pills anymore. This is what I did. People were still sick. What did they do? What could they do? They were forced to turn to Hashem. Every person then who was sick was forced to turn to Hashem. Is that the right thing to do? Remove chances of cure from illnesses by preventing them from going to doctors, calling doctors, taking medicines? Is it right to jeopardize the lives of people, a whole kingdom? The answer came from heaven and said, yes, you were destined to die, but this one deed was good enough to have you live many more years. Why? Because this is what Hashem really wants. You want to know what Hashem really thinks about this topic? We have it right there, very clearly stated. HaToiv be'inecho asisi. Moshe says, befeidish, that though, benapeh yedapeh, though the Gemara allows a person to go visit a doctor, fact is still, he may. But if he was wiser, if he had more faith, he'd abstain, refrain, and turn to the doctor, the true doctor, Kel Melech Refei Nemon. Zayin HaKadosh says, we mentioned this before too, but it's very timely. Zayin HaKadosh says, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon ben Yechozel visited his father-in-law, Rabbi Yossi ben Shimon, and he came there, his father-in-law was sick, and he was cured shortly, and he said, let me tell you a Pedish explanation on a pasuk. We say it in Davening too, Rafeinu Hashem b'nei Rafe. Hashem, cure us, and we will be cured. What does that mean? This is written in the Zayin HaKadosh. It doesn't come from a little pamphlet. This means that the difference between Hashem curing and a doctor curing is, take these two psukim, Rapa Yirape, a doctor will cure, right? Will cure means future. He will cure. Any doctor you go to says, come back for another visit, and a third visit, and a fourth visit. Come back for more visits. That's what the doctor is made for. His thoughts are centered around the fact that this patient I have is my source of income. If I cure him now, I lose my chance to make more of him. If I don't, he'll come back. Let me try my best to cure him. I'll be sure he'll come back, because there's no way that I can cure him at one time. So therefore, if you go to a doctor, you'll have to go back again, because you will not be cured at one time. By Hashem, it says, L'havdil Feino Hashem. Hashem cures v'nei dafei, will be cured instantly. One single visit, one single act by Hashem, the person is cured permanently. There will be no further mention or trace of that sickness. Now we have seen, we speak about miracles of the past. People have heard about them, these miracles of Baal Shem Tov, who came and cured those who were sick. Other great tzaddikim. We have seen cases in the present. And there are some here who were witness to those cases. We cannot, of course, if I should cite cases of apparent miracles, the doctors gave up hope, and we called upon, we summoned the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, to be mispalat the daven, and an obvious, clear-cut miracle was demonstrated. This does not mean, therefore, that we should say, advertise for miracle performances, and anybody who is sick or who needs anything done, apply here, will have an immediate, instant cure or remedy. This is understood to be impossible in this world as is. Till Mashiach comes, the Torah says there will have to be sicknesses, there will have to be illnesses, there will have to be poverty, there will have to be suffering. There's no way to have a Gan Eden on this earth. So there will have to be sicknesses. At the same time, since a person must be sick or must suffer to a degree, at least let him make the best of it. person is sick, and he suffers pain, and he goes to doctors, and he goes through a big expense, and he ends with ultimately becoming cured. And he reviews the case, he finds that he suffered for a long time, it cost him a sum of money, and what benefits were derived, none he could think of, not one bit. It was a loss in every respect. If a person, instead, who is ill, turns to Hashem alone, knowing, believing that the sickness came to him because Hashem sent it to him, for a reason. He deserved it because of some deeds that he did, misdeeds, some sins he committed. And this sickness, this illness, this suffering is intended to pay for, to erase the sins he committed. He turns to Hashem with this emunah and says to Hashem, Hashem, please cure me because I believe that I deserve this. You are justified. You are Hashem who is just, I am wrong. Same time, I ask that you in your mercy accept my tshuva, accept my repentance, and withdraw, call back, recall this suffering that you've sent upon me. If this is done with sincere kavana, with a true feeling, then surely either the illness will be terminated, it'll end, or it'll be alleviated, become much less. Or at least the smallest gain will be that he will know that he has direct contact with the true doctor, with Hashem, who is curing him spiritually. His neshama was sick, and through this illness his neshama is becoming cured. So certainly the result of this illness will be that he can chalk up a very great victory, a profit that is immeasurable, because he turned to the right direction. Now, Lemaisa, as we said, we cannot speak highly about doctors, because in my experience alone, I've seen, as practicing chaplain in hospitals, I've seen the ills, the evils performed by the highest members of the medical profession, due to their haughtiness, due to their gaiva, the gasus ruach, which I said is second to none. And whatever we read today about the evils in that profession are only a small portion, a small percentage of that which is still being hidden by the medical association. Fact is that if you see the present crop of doctors, you cannot honestly consider them better than the average high school biology student, which isn't saying much for one to whom you will entrust your life. That's granting them a measure of doubt. Fact is, too, that those who are even more advanced are those who will take more risks and who very coolly write off a patient who died as one of the parts of necessities of his profession. It gets to a point where, if a patient died, the doctor will callously send a heavy bill to the patient's family and expect to be paid immediately, even before the body is turned cold. And I've seen this many times, and that's why there is no way that we can speak well about doctors. I regret to say this, or I'm happy to say it. Nothing can change this, and the fact remains that we have the statement of the highest authority in existence. Tzadik Emerson speaks about this, and to get lemaisa, as we said, today, a person is sick. Could anybody be that foolish to tell this person who is sick and who has an internal organ that is diseased, it's an appendix that's inflamed, about to rupture, to say to this patient, this person, stay home and forget about the appendix, don't go to the hospital, you've been examined by the laboratory, you find that your white blood corpuscle count is so high that it's an obvious disease and infection there, must be removed before it could turn to a much more serious case. Stay home, take out a sefer tehillim and daven. If it explodes, well, one more chapter of tehillim, and perhaps it will return to normal. That, of course, would be ridiculed as an insane viewpoint, insane point of view. What then is a person supposed to do? Turn to doctors, turn to surgeons. We have defeated our own purpose. The answer is, take a few cases of modern times. Our time, Rabbi Koch of Leivzal, for example, lived to an age of over 90, well over 90 years. And he made through a number of illnesses too. Or well, let's say by Tzviya Lippel today, if we want a case of one who's made through numbers, vast numbers of illnesses, every part of him has gone through many different types of attacks, internal attacks. Rabbi Koch of Leivzal, even in the years that I knew him, had some type of suffering, and to the last day of his life, never allowed a doctor to approach within Dalet Amos. He didn't want the tumor, Malchamavis, to come close to him. Now, during an era of over 90 years, there were some very serious illnesses, ones that might have required surgery, surely would have required medication that could have cured him immediately, and yet he avoided doctors and medicines, never swallowed one pill in his lifetime, never had a doctor treat him for anything. How was it done? Because, simply, he was so pure in his faith that naturally there was, kaviyachol, there was no choice in heaven. What could they say in heaven? Let him, if he's that pure and seeks the aid of heaven so strongly, he must be helped. We cannot claim today to be on that madrega, that level, naturally. So, very briefly, if we cannot reach that level, we cannot attain the assistance of heaven as he did, at least, a person today must be honest with himself. If he has to go to a doctor, if he's got to take medicine, then there is no choice, there's no alternative. Let him at least go to a doctor who is more advanced, more progressed than a high school graduate. But at the same time, even when he does follow the doctor's instructions in taking medicine or in going in for surgery, at all times, at every second, even when swallowing a pill, he must never allow his mind to wander from the fact it is not the pill, it is not the doctor, it is Hashem who has the power. Hashem is so great and so powerful, in the words of the Bei Chaim, Hashem is so infinitely great that he is able to send a cure to a person even through a doctor. So that when listening to the advice of doctors and taking this medication, a person should then, above all, practice his true faith, true emunah, and then knowing that it will be the emunah that will cure him. This is only touching the surface. We should be zecher b'yemes, to strengthen ourselves with emunah at all times. And this emunah should be our real cure, that we should never know of any sicknesses, never be subjected to this test, be allowed a life pure, health, beruchnius and begashmius, and in that health to serve Hashem truly, faithfully, and see the coming of Mashiach b'mehera. Amen v'yamen.
Amen.